Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys. Welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench.
You're listening to Blokes on the Bench on 94.7 WPVC. Reach us at 284-9470 and at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
Just back after this time out. All right, so we've got no headphones, so we can't figure out what's... Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. All right, so, right, thank you, by the way, Alex. Quick shout-out you wanted to give Ryan.
Yeah, mate. So last night... Bit off soccer here, but the boxing, probably the best heavyweight fight I've seen in about 20 years. Congratulations to Anthony Joshua. Won in the 11th round stoppage of Vladimir Klitschko, 41-year-old geezer, rolling back the years. It was absolutely brilliant. At Wembley Stadium, 90,000 people. It was epic.
I didn't actually get to see it, but I saw, like, literally on Facebook, everyone from back in the UK was talking about it.
Yeah, they're already talking about a rematch as well, which...
I heard that. He wants... Anthony wants a rematch.
I think they both do, yeah.
Oh, I mean, how much money did they make from that?
Exactly. Yeah, double that and for the next one, but yeah, unbelievable.
And also over the weekend, we don't usually talk about the Scottish Premiership, but obviously the big game, the big sort of old firm... Derby was Celtic versus Rangers at Ibrox, and Celtic trounced Rangers 5-1. So
shocker.
Absolutely. All right, so we have to go back to Tuesday to get the first results. It was Chelsea versus Southampton. This was a great game.
Especially if you're a Chelsea supporter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure Alex was disappointed by it. Because just Southampton, one of those teams, middle-of-the-road team, not really playing for anything this year. And we'll get into like this weekend, but I felt bad for Spurs again yesterday with Everton, but I'll get into that when that rolls around. But yeah, Chelsea 4-2, went 1-0 up, then it was 1-1.
They went 1-0 up early too. It was straight domination, it seemed, from the get-go.
And then kind of a scrappy goal to get Southampton back into it. And actually, Southampton were doing all right, looked well organized. And you know, it's just a crazy, it seems like it's just like a crazy 10, 15 minute period. Chelsea turn it on, go up a couple of gears, and just start dominating the game. But
that fourth goal by Costa was fantastic. If you're going to score a goal, I mean, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just. Number of 1-2s back and forth, and in the end he finished it off. It was very well played, and a goal worthy of a team that may very well win the Premier League.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's over now?
It's not. You can't say that. I'll get into what I think about when you looked at the fixtures and stuff, why I kind of thought that it would go down to the wire. I might as well just jump into it now. So... Everton, with West Brom losing yesterday, meant that Everton were guaranteed Europa football, which was their target for the year. So, and it just kind of felt like, you know, the Chelsea-Everton game where did Everton really... it wasn't that great of a game, and I don't know, I feel like Lukaku and a couple of the other boys could have done a lot more. It wasn't a great game.
Do you feel like they just... bottled it a little bit?
No, just already on the beach, aren't they?
Yeah.
Already on the beach. And there's a lot of teams at Southampton already on the beach. You know, your West Bromwich Albion already on the beach. Bunch of them already on the beach, mate. It's, yeah.
I mean, but you can, if you're a higher, if you place higher, not necessarily Everton in this situation, but if you do place higher, you get, the team gets more money from the TV revenue, and... it gives you more chances next year in order to really reload, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that there's a flat rate given to everybody, and then where you finish, I think it's only in the top seven, and then based on returns to the Premier League is how your TV rights are distributed. So like somebody like West Brom and probably Everton, it's not a huge difference. It's not like 10 million difference, like, or anything anywhere near that.
Yeah, it's fractions is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's because my guess is those clubs who are notorious for doing good business and not overstretching themselves, like, then neither one of those clubs are ever going to be facing, like, administrate. They don't go crazy with wages and stuff like that. So their returns to the Premier League probably aren't massive. So in that regard, yeah, I don't think it's a big difference.
So on the beach it is, huh?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see over the next few years about this, you know, Britex, like, how that's going to affect the transfer windows.
I don't see it doing anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that was one of the concerns they were talking about. But, like, I mean, it hasn't happened yet. I mean, what, they've only just released the clause to start
it. But it could have something to do with maybe, like, the work permits, which are always a thing for people that are not in the Eurozone. So if you're Brazilian or anyone not in the EU and you want to, if you want to play in England, you have to get a work permit. And you have to have a certain number of international caps, things like that. It's not just a gimme. Granted, most times it gets pushed through regardless, even if you don't meet all the
price
criteria.
Is right, mate.
Yeah. So, but I mean, there's going to be more of that, like, I don't know, like regulation or however you want to call it, that you have to get through.
Yeah, there might be an additional layer of red tape, if you like. But they, believe me, as soon as all that came out, I guarantee that there was already a structure in place for this is how we either backdoor them in or speed that process. I don't see it being an issue at all.
All right, guys, don't forget you tuned in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. It's only, how many more weeks now is there?
Just 4 weeks left, four games.
Four weeks. And we'll get to the result, but Sunderland are out now. That's it, right?
Yeah, relegated.
It's mathematics,
yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Moyes was interviewed after the game, and he said he'd like to coach them in the championship next year and try and bring them back.
Not what I heard him say, but yeah, I know he's trying to not say too much. He's not going to be there. No chance. Absolutely no chance.
In that he'll be fired or that he's going to leave?
No, it'll be by mutual consent and he'll disappear and go do something else. But yeah, no chance. No chance whatsoever.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Wednesday game, Middlesbrough versus Sunderland.
Oh, Middlesbrough first nail in the coffin here. Yeah, Darun, early goal as well, wasn't it? I think it was like first 10 minutes. In Middlesbrough, you know, they don't...
It was a great ball over the top.
Yeah, against those against the lesser teams, they really don't concede that many. I mean, arguments say last weekend they got drubbed 4-0 by Bournemouth, but notoriously pretty decent defence. Just, you know, been lack scoring goals, so nice to see them get a win. I think they're still going to go down, even after a great result for them today. Against Man City, but...
Yeah, I see Borough going down for sure.
Yeah, Sunderland again in this game showed very little fight. And, you know, they've been... This has been coming for about 5 years. In the past 5 seasons, they have not hit 40 points, but have stayed in the league.
Which is usually the...
The magic number, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's been like 37... I think they stayed up with 36 points 1 year, and 39, 39, 38... And this year, I don't even know how many points they got, but it's got to be in the low 20s.
Yeah, 21 is where they are right now.
Shocking. Just terrible.
But it sounds like it's been a few years coming, is what you're saying. I mean, if you look at the squad in terms of the overall talent, it's not really what it has been in past seasons.
No, they've got a lot of players as well that are somewhat past it. Like your John O'Shea's back there, your Lee Catamoles. Barini's never really done anything. Defoe. And they bought really poorly as well. I think they spent, they spent like 28 million in the transfer windows. And when you look across their acquisitions, just really not good business. And they've been a club notorious for doing pretty decent business, getting players maybe just over their peak, but maybe have got 2 years, 3 years of decent service.
Well, half those people are still on the team, and
yeah, that's the problem.
And,
yeah,
you know, they're paying their wages, and you know what, they're over the hill, if you will, and they're not really what they once were.
Yeah, and it's just Yeah, there was no real fight in them this year. And it's been just an absolute terrible season for them. I know they had to make redundancies at the club as well. Like, staff members were let go, stuff like that. And, you know, look, Sunderland fans, so passionate. Like, football up in the northeast, Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, like, just love their football clubs. Working class, you know, hard-working folks that go to every single game. And you know what? I was kind of happy that I think it was, yesterday, you know, the ground was like, I think it was like 4,000 less than, they always sell out. They always at capacity, which shocks me. Like, you turn up every week to watch that.
Yeah, but what else is going on? You know?
Yeah, but it's been...
It's the only draw in town.
Yeah, but it's been a shocking year for them. I mean, we talked about start of the season where they were winless in 10 games. You know, didn't register a win in the first 10. I mean, it never. We know they start like that, and there was kind of the running joke, but at some point, the quality just keeps getting a little bit better and better, and you're just going to, you know, come a cropper to that.
So do you see a situation like Newcastle where maybe they go down a year and come back
they
and maybe stronger?
Back up next year.
No, they
might
won't be
take
in the top
them
three.
Two or three. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be one of those teams that go down and actually struggle, I think, next year. They won't get relegated, but they will struggle. I'll go out on a limb and say Sunderland won't finish in the top half of the championship next year.
Wow.
Wow. But I mean, we saw that last year with Villa. Villa went down, and look at them.
Yeah, garbage, mate. Rubbish. They've had a couple of semi-decent results, but nothing really changed. I think a lot of the times, owners of those clubs think, okay, so we weren't good enough for the Premier League this year, but they think that the gap is so vast between Championship and Premier League. It is big, but it's not as big as I think they think it is. So they just try and roll, keep as many of those players as they can. They're still paying so much in wages. They probably lose about, I'm going to say, 60% of their revenue being in a championship team now, and then trying to survive with that and hope that these guys have the mentality to try and get you back into the Premier League. And it just, a lot of the times it doesn't work out like that. It takes those other teams that are really hungry and made steps forward, like your Brighton and Hove Albions. Newcastle did really well because I think keeping Rafa Benitez there was huge for them, and fair play to him as well. I think he saw that, you know what, we will bounce straight back. And they're actually, that title race is wide open now. I think Brighton lost on Friday night or early Saturday morning. So, yeah, title race is back on there. So, yeah, should be interesting.
And then going back to the Aston Villa thing you were just talking about, pretty sure they were bought by someone late last year in the season, and I don't understand why you would buy a Premier League team that looks like they're going to get relegated. You're paying top money for them, and then, like, it just doesn't make sense economically to buy a team right as they're about to go down. I mean, I guess I get that you can shape the team in order to bring it back, yeah, but at the same time, you're paying top dollar for a team that if you came in 2-3 months later, you'd be probably paying a fraction of the price.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends on actually what the figure was and what the parameters of the deal were. But look, the idea is that a club doesn't come up for sale every day. And if you've got, and we're talking like ridiculous money where it's not even really money. It's just a bunch of numbers that you have in a bunch of accounts that you basically manage. I mean, you know, it's the same like over here, because we were watching the other day that Mike and Mike or whatever it is, and they were talking about, you know, like NFL, Major League Baseball franchises and that. They don't come up every day. So if you get the opportunity to buy one, no matter what the price, you pay it. And for whatever reason, maybe you're a diehard fan, maybe it's just that nice thing to have on your portfolio that you're the owner of a team, yeah, that kind of thing.
The only thing I'll say for U.S. sports is that there's no relegation. So you're guaranteed the revenue. Your things are a little bit more consistent and stable. Yeah, yeah, thank you. And so, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to Arsenal versus Leicester City. How do you think you played during the week? I mean, that was unlucky for, what, Huth?
Yeah. Once again, playing in the new system, it seems to be working a little bit better than what had happened previously. Maybe we should have switched to this system earlier.
in the season. Three at the back is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the three at the back. But we didn't look really particularly good in this game. We're definitely lucky to get the win. But, you know, based on our possession, I think we probably did warrant a goal in the game.
Well, Ryan, anything?
I'm trying to think of something positive to say about it.
They won.
No, I got nothing.
They won. Isn't that positive?
Yeah, I mean, you beat the team that's put in front of you, but I feel like every single time that we do this show from, like, week one, we said, oh, that wasn't convincing. And it's like, you're just waiting for... Because I see the names on the team sheet, and I think, you know what, if they really were firing on all cylinders, they should beat anybody on their day. And I don't think we've seen a performance like that from them this year. You could argue against City in the FA Cup. That's pretty much all I can think of. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, every year you have Arsenal, they turn up for a game and everyone's like, if you knew that they were going to turn up, that's the team that you would pay top dollar to go and watch play because it's phenomenal. I just don't think you've seen it this year. They've played a lot of games this year. Almost 50, probably in the 52, I guess. Quick math in my head. It's just not good enough. And you wonder why they're not having these games, why they're not free-flowing. Like, is it the manager? Is it tweaking this system? That I don't know, mate. I just think personnel-wise, you just don't have the team that's going to get the job done.
So what changes would you make? If you're Wenger and he sticks around, or you're the board, like who do you bring in? What kind of player do you bring in to really turn things around?
Honestly, I think you need a goalkeeper.
Czech's been solid, but he's obviously getting up there.
What is he, 39, 38?
If they were to pick up Jack Butland, that'd be a great buy.
Jack Butland. Let's be honest, Sunderland are down now. Jordan Pickford's going to be up for grabs. Sign yourself an 18-year-old, like, you know, who could potentially give you... We were just talking about this, about, like, the De Gea situation where he looks like he might be going. If I'm an Arsenal or a Man United, I'm looking for a very young goalkeeper who's already, like, you know, well-established in the league. I know he's got relegated, but believe me, they'd have been down at Christmas if it wasn't for this kid. And Jermaine Defoe, but... you know, someone like Arsenal, I would say go in for this kid. You'll get 12 years out of it. It's not like he's... I was saying to Andy, it's not like he's... Like, you're getting a foreign goalkeeper, really young, and really his dream is to go and play, if he's Spanish, Real Madrid, Barcelona. If he's Italian, to go and play Inter, AC, or Juventus. He's an English kid. You know, you'll get good service out of him. And I think that would be my first port of call. He's going to learn a lot from somebody like Petr Cech. I mean, think about that as well. Even if you keep Cech for another year,
as a mentor,
having him day in, day out, working with better goalkeeper coaches, a better number one who's done everything in the game in Petr Cech, I think you set yourself up for having a world-class keeper. And I said to Andy, this kid, he's not great on crosses, something you can learn. So that's something like De Gea when he first came in, terrible on crosses. Now everything sticks to his gloves. Like, it's stuff you can learn to make him more well-rounded. And I've said to Andy, I think that in the next 2-3 years, he will be one of the best goalkeepers in Europe. So why wouldn't you snatch him up? You could probably get him for 12 million.
Mm. Well, that's be a good buy from my eyes. But really, I think that you can talk goalkeeper all day if you want to.
Starting at keeper, mate. Exactly. I mean, the show's not long enough to go where I think.
I think the big thing for me would be, exactly, center midfielder, box to box. Someone like Xhaka has come in and he hasn't really played up to the hype, to the cost that they paid for him.
Yeah.
And they just need a really big. They need like a Vieira. I mean, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
You're asking for the moon there.
Yeah.
But you know, someone that is of that ilk.
Yeah.
Not necessarily easy to find, but someone that can be that box-to-box player. They don't have that.
I think you need somebody with a little bit of... When I watch Arsenal, I feel like every player is a little bit samey. Like, take Sanchez out of the equation, yeah? Obviously a great player. everyone else is kind of...
interchangeable.
Yeah. Whereas I look at, say, maybe... I think Arsenal maybe need a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of swagger. Thierry Henry was world class. He had confidence and this little pinch of arrogance where... Look, the guy knows he was phenomenal. Smashed every record for you boys. Thing. I almost feel like, and this sounds a bit weird, but it was just the person that popped into my head, like an Arnautovic, someone who's going to stride around and think, right, I own this place now, and get the fans. You know what I mean by that? Like, I don't feel like you have Oxlade-Chamberlain's never going to be that player. Theo Walcott's been there since he was about 9 months old. He's never shown an ounce of it. I just feel like you need that little bit of swagger that gets people interested again. We got it with Ibrahimovic. He came in. We hadn't had a personality like that for a long time. And I think somebody like that, but then you obviously, I think you definitely need a striker that's going to bang you 25 a season. And I don't see it in the squad at the moment.
All right, guys, the time is 20 past 6. We'll be right back. You had one more thing to say about the game.
Yeah. I mean, well, in terms of players that Arsenal need, we've said it throughout the season that Arsenal really needs a leader. They don't really have a true team captain, someone to pick them up when they're down. You get a goal down, someone that's going to rally the lads and really get things turned around. I feel like that's another thing they don't really have on the team, like a true leader, follow me kind of player.
We haven't had that in years.
Exactly. And so, this is something that's overdue and something that you need to get in. When you buy young players that are from, essentially from France or something like that, a lot of times you get players that are very good, but they haven't matured in terms of like as a man, as their ability to be in the locker room.
My problem is that we say that like those players, those leaders, those come a dime a dozen. In the past 5 years, the top teams have all gone out and bought that player. I'm thinking like Vidal. N'Golo Kanté, I wouldn't say leader, but okay, Nemanja Matic. Paul Pogba. I think he'll develop into probably being United's next captain.
You also can be like a leader on the field, like Ibra.
Yeah.
He's a leader, follow me kind of guy.
But what I'm saying is these players are getting bought. Why aren't Arsenal in the mix to buy these players?
Most of the time, it's because you have to pay top dollar for them. Because they're not only the best in terms of like in the locker room, but they're usually one of the better players on the field, which you have to pay for.
Last thing I'm going to say about the Arsenal is... This whole year, I've gone, Eddie Howe, I think, would be a great pick for the Arsenal. I still like Eddie Howe. I'm still on that bandwagon a little bit. But I'm going out on a limb to say, if Marco Silva keeps Hull City in the league, Arsenal should go searching for this guy. Absolute. What he's done at Hull, absolutely brilliant.
What has he done before Hull? I'm not too familiar with his career.
Who did he manage in Portugal? He managed, I think, for 2 years. I don't know who it was. But I'm saying, you come to the Premier League as a relative unknown. I mean, let's be honest, we didn't know what he'd done. And Hull are smashing home records like you wouldn't believe. And you know what? Away from home, they've kind of tightened the ship a little bit. And I'm telling you, just imagine what he's done. Yeah, what he's done with Hull City, that group of players, when they look dead and buried at Christmas, is absolutely unbelievable. Now stick a 100 million treasure chest in front of him over the next, let's say, 2 years or a year and a half or whatever, and with these players. So I think one of the biggest things with Arsene, it's not necessarily Arsene Wenger. It's not just Arsene Wenger, because he can change philosophies and the way things are managed.
You need somebody at the board level?
Throughout the year. But it's not that. What I'm saying is his coaching staff's never changed.
Right.
So... No, nothing against Steve Bould and stuff like that. He's from an era where he was a very good defender and all that kind of stuff and reads the game and that. Are they adapting to the way the game's changing? I don't think so.
Well, three at the back. Isn't that the new in vogue formation?
Yeah, I know, but you've got to have the right three players and you've got to play the right three players in a structure. It's not just three at the back. It's, who goes, who stays, who shifts over, who tucks in. And I'm not sure... that they'll that I'm not confident that the coaching staff at Arsenal, you can change the formation because the players are current players, but what's going on in training to actually make them completely well-rounded at that philosophy?
Yeah, are they improving in that new system? You can put them in that system, doesn't mean they're good, right?
Yeah, exactly. I would almost go the other way and say, if anything, it's probably more detrimental to the players if they're not progressing at that system, because they'll fall into bad habits. And that's a lot what we've been seeing from a lot of like individual mistakes, collective mistakes. And that's enough ragging on Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, let's move on. Your team.
Spurs
versus Crystal Palace. Eriksen.
Eriksen had a phenomenal goal about 40 yards out to the match winner against Crystal Palace.
How far out?
35, maybe 40. We'll round up.
I'll give
right?
you 30.
He got the ball basically right around the center circle, and you know, one or two strides in, and all of a sudden it was a.
I used to do the same thing on David Beckham free kicks and be like, "That's like 40-yard bender in the top corner." No, mate, it was 22 yards. Oh, okay.
You know, just add a few percentage points, and then you know you'll find the true number. But no, I mean, it was a great strike by Eriksen.
Great goal.
It bounced right in front of the goalie, which made it really difficult for him to track the ball. And when it skips off, you never know what kind of bounce you're going to get. It was one that you could argue that the Palace keeper should have got, but he didn't, and it was a great goal because of it. This game kind of reminded me of the midweek game that we had against Swansea a few weeks ago. Granted, Crystal Palace never scored in this game, but it was definitely most of it was being played in the middle third of the field, and there were chances. Dele Alli had a chance that he squandered. There were a few things here and there, but for the most part, there weren't a lot of shots. And while when Eriksen finally took his shot, he took a phenomenal goal, and man, that was worthy of being a match winner.
Yeah, so good. Like so little backlift, he hits it so early. And like you said, that bounce literally 1 yard before the keeper, and it's kind of past Hennessy before he's even fully extended his hand. So, great finish, great goal. And the thing is, like you said about the Swansea game, and this is a reoccurring thing with Spurs at the moment, is every game is must win. Every game is must win, and they keep pulling it out. So, you know what, fair play to them. Whatever happens this year, they've definitely gone up another level, if not maybe another level and a half. And I mean, I think everybody, we just got to get used to the fact that Spurs are going to be competing for this every single year now, because real deal, great, fair play to them.
And there's lots of talk of whether the who's the king of the north, who's the king of North London. Has there been a power shift? And that was one of the big talking points of this past weekend, obviously, with the Tottenham-Arsenal game. We can get to that later, but it sure looks like things are, at bare minimum, they're more even than they've been in the past, and I think most people would say they've probably shifted towards Tottenham's favor.
I just hope that, you know, with the ground switch and stuff that's coming, I hope they don't have to take, like, kind of a, they won't take steps back, but a stagnant approach. Because you had a little bit of that from Arsenal. I think that was one of the big things as well. You move to a massive ground like that. They didn't do nearly as much, bolster the squad like they should in those first couple of years.
Because you're paying massive amounts of debt. And So to balance the books, you just don't spend as much.
Yeah, you go stagnant for 2 or 3 years and hope you can ride the wave and then unlock the treasure chest. But
yeah, I don't think Tottenham's going to have a very big amount of money to spend this summer. I don't see them really going out and getting anyone big. I mean,
I don't think they need anybody big. They just their biggest problem that you boys are going to have is keeping what you have, because believe me, Tottenham aren't a massive club. They are a big. They're a big English football. They're a big club, but they're not.
Say the crews are going to be circling over your club this summer.
And you know what? It's so hard to turn down. It's ridiculous money.
You know, depending on the player, and if teams are willing to overpay, in some ways, I'd be okay with some players going. Obviously, not Dele Alli, Kane, but some of the crazy money that's being thrown out there for, like, I don't know, like Walker or Rose, who we have semi-decent replacements for. And if you're going to pay $50 million for them, I mean, that's just good money.
But
and we can improve the squad. But, I mean, that's not ideal. I'd rather keep them. But it, like, if someone's going to go and it's top dollar, I'm a little bit more accepting of that, but...
I'm just saying, that's. I think it's bad in a way because...
You ruin the team chemistry, and then the idea is, oh, now you're a selling club all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, look, this is what's going to happen. You get, let's say somebody offers you $50 million for Rose, which I think you should take. $50 million for a right back on any day is...
A left back, yeah.
Left back is
crazy.
Ludicrous, right? But if somebody offers you $50 million for Danny Rose, guess what happens next week? Someone comes in for $100 million for Harry Kane. Someone comes in for $100 million for Dele Alli.
That's the fear. Yeah.
Someone comes in for $60 million for Alderweireld. Somebody comes in for $40 million for Hugo Lloris. I mean, that's what happens. Once they know that, okay, you'll take that bite, and then, you know, by the end of the summer, look, on paper, your teams probably were, like, cost. I'm going to just, on a limb, $150 million. It might be worth... $600 million, like when
so
you
good
really...
business, but yeah, I mean, what scares me a little bit is that Tottenham are still owned. I've said this before; they're owned by a private equity firm, and they're all about the bottom dollar. And so, sure, they want to win, and they want to, you know, win as many titles as anyone else. But at the same time, it's ultimately about staying in the black.
Have to keep your manager as well. To keep your manager.
So my biggest fear would be Pochettino, number one, Ali two. Kane three, and then you can just line up the rest of the players. But I have a feeling that the major players aren't going anywhere, and we should be just as good next year. The big thing is, can they play in Wembley? We saw that in the Europa League and in the Champions League. They didn't play their best football in this cavernous stadium that's Wembley. You can't fill it up with 90,000 people every single game. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can play on the bigger pitch again and again and again, because they didn't play very well when they had to in Wembley. Mm-hmm. But they played pretty well last week against Chelsea. Granted, they lost, but you know, if that's like what the level of play that they're going to be at next year, I think that we'd win most games in those situations.
Sure. All right, so let's talk about winning games. Thursday's game was a lot of hype was surrounding it, but it didn't really live up to it. The Man City Man United game.
I think you'd offer both managers a draw at the start; they'd have probably taken it. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to talk about. Rashford with a couple of opportunities. Aguero with a couple of opportunities. Wasn't a great game. The only talking point really is Fellaini and...
Just petulant.
The headbutt,
crazy 20 seconds, but...
Tell Aguero was just beating him in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing I said to you as well. Like, if I was a Man United player, this is what really annoys me. If I was a Man United player, I'd be... You have to be careful here. I'd be like, I don't know, just going absolutely off on Aguero, because he's very little contact on that second challenge.
Oh, it was a total
dive. Jumped straight up, and Fellaini's already stood in the same spot. His feet don't move, and Aguero is the one that comes maybe 6 yards into his face, looks up at him, puts the head in, and Fellaini finishes the job. And then he's on the ground rolling around like he'd just been shot out of a cannon. So... I don't know, but my gripe is against United players. I'd have been straight over there dragging him up on his feet, give him a little shot to the rib cage, something. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Mm. But they were more interested in just getting Fellaini off the pitch.
But ridiculous, I mean, come on. I mean, ridiculous is the fact that he's going in for the headbutt there. Just take a step back, you know? Like, why is it that you have to, like, go head-to-head
in these Fellaini situations? Yeah, but it's Fellaini. Like, he's a very physical player.
Okay.
I think he just gets bits easy into these situations.
Yeah. And this is why United fans hate him. Because
he had a thing about 10 minutes earlier when he's talking to the ref, and the ref's called over Vincent Kompany because he's the captain of thing, and Fellaini, both Belgians. Fellaini's like hitting him on the arm. Like, because he keeps putting his arm up, and Fellaini just keeps hitting him. I'm like, what are you doing right in front of the referee, like hitting another player? But yeah, I mean, yeah, not much to talk about that game. 0-0. We'll take the point. Roll on.
And at that point, I mean, that great week for Arsenal, right?
Yeah.
That's the perfect scenario. Because Arsenal had won, but the two teams ahead of them that were vying for the last Champions League spot drew, so Arsenal's closer.
Back-to-back wins for the Arsenal, wasn't it?
All right, guys, we need to move on to the Saturday games. So West Brom versus Leicester. Obviously, Leicester with a Vardy shot at 43rd 83rd minute.
Yeah, good finish, actually. Terrible from Rondon. I don't know what he was doing. But Okazaki with a great little pass through, and Vardy doing makes it look so easy. Tough finish, but yeah, straight past the keeper, 1-0. West Brom did nothing this game. Another one of those teams that kind of already on the beach, already sunning it up in Dubai. So yeah, I mean, that's just kind of, you get these games at this point of the season. You know, nothing to really play for. And they've been at that for a few weeks, actually. This is actually the fifth game. They actually set a club record, 5 games, no goals. They've never done that in their history, gone 5 games without scoring.
That's so, for West Brom?
Yeah.
So do you think, like, those teams, like, those mid-level teams, like West Brom, that there's a danger, like, at the end of the season, that they start drifting off into summer holiday mode?
Yeah, they're already there, mate. West Brom have been there for the past 3 weeks.
I mean, West Brom literally cannot climb another spot. The next spot up is Everton, and they're about 14 points ahead of them. Yeah, so it's like, you can't go up, you can only go down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like there's a big...
And at that point, what's the difference between 8th and 9th? You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah, if you're West Brom, well,
you would like to stay in the top half of the table. I feel like that's like a goal that you would say that you would come into the beginning of the year.
They're not going to sit down to 11th, I don't think, but...
They're still having their best season ever.
Yeah, sure. They're six points away from their best Premier League total ever. 6 points away. And they honestly, they've been missing for, like I said, the last 5 games. They haven't scored in 5 games.
It does seem when the carrot is thrown in front of people, especially United as well, they just don't do it. Like, we could have gone ahead of, like you said, slipped into third spot.
Mate. We could have been, yeah, it should be third.
Anyway, we'll get to that. Anyway, Sunderland versus Bournemouth. Obviously, we know Sunderland are now...
Relegated. Did nothing in this game again, really. Had a couple. Defoe
had so many chances, it seemed like.
But Josh King, what's that? 12 and 14 now for him. 88th minute.
Do you see him playing at Bournemouth next year?
Yeah, he's at the right club. Definitely the right club. I mean, you've got to think about it. Look, he's had one good season, because before this season, he'd scored 14 career goals for Bournemouth. And now this year, like, and that was all the way, including this year, right up to, I think it was, they were saying January the 1st, because in this calendar year, so from January the 1st, like, he's only Harry Kane and Lukaku have scored more goals than him.
Wow.
So, but he's at the right club. I think he knows he's at the right club. I can't think of a bigger club really coming in for him where he's going to benefit all that much. So, yeah, but great result for Bournemouth. They needed a draw, you know, 3 points, gets them up to that. I think they're at 41 points now.
So they're in the safe.
So they're good. They're going to be just fine, yeah.
All right, so West Ham versus Stoke. There was a lot of draws this week.
Yeah, 0-0, Saturday game. It actually was one of the better 0-0s of the season.
There was a lot of action, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Jack Butland with some really good saves. You had Adrian with, I think, three that I remember that were really good saves.
Arnautovic had a chance at the very end.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a bad 0-0. I think, you know, both teams probably be happy with a point there. Both those kind of middling teams as well. So
Southampton versus Hull, again, another draw.
Yeah, but what an absolute storm in the last 5 minutes.
Just back and forth, back and forth.
Back and forth. Harry Maguire was absolutely brilliant. And I think this guy, middle of the season when he really started playing a lot of games, I was like, how is this guy a Premier League footballer? For me, he carries a little bit of timber that he needs to shred. But his timing of tackles and stuff this year, this game was amazing. Like, he was everywhere. Man of the match by far. The only reason I'd maybe give it to Jakubovic is... 91st minute?
Exactly.
91st minute, penalty given.
Saves the day.
And it wasn't a bad penalty. Tadic, though, third penalty missed. Well struck, but yeah, what a save. Great save.
Strong arm and...
And, you know, that point for me, massive. Massive. And you could see what it's meant to Marco Silva on the sideline, who was celebrating like it was a goal. So, yeah, brilliant. But they look good. Hull look like they have the belief that they're going to get this done. So fair play to them, and I hope they do.
Brilliant. Yeah, they're 2 points ahead of Swansea right now, and
yeah,
obviously we know what happened with Swansea today, but we'll get there in a second.
Yeah, we'll get there, mate.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 to 7. All right, guys. So Crystal Palace versus Burnley. 2-0 to Burnley.
This kind of shocked me a little bit. Burnley haven't won away from home all season. Palace are on a pretty decent run. It was a couple of like controversial things in this game. Like, was Zaha offside? If he's onside, Heaton would have probably been sent off for the challenge.
Wasn't there also a tackle on Zaha that maybe a penalty had been given?
It wasn't a pen, though.
Yeah,
it wasn't a pen. But Ashley Barnes in, like, I think it was like 7th minute. And then Gray came off the bench to wrap it up.
Well, Barnes had another goal that was disallowed.
Yeah, disallowed.
For a handball.
Handball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of weird, that one, because they were mid... I guess they were doing a
mid celebration.
New celebration.
Rowing their canoe down the river or whatever.
And then it was given it was given as handball, so they have to get up kind of sheepish and run back to position. But that was kind of funny. But, great result for Burnley. Obviously, they've had a bit of a tough week with the whole Joey Barton thing, and Joey Barton banned for 18 months, which pretty much ends his career.
But legitimately so. He was betting on games, betting against his own team. Granted, he wasn't in the squad those days, but he was betting against his team. I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't surprise me coming from Joey Barton.
I mean, nothing surprises you coming from him.
I mean... I get it. Like, they have these rules in place, and it's to cover everybody. The people who like a little flutter, and I'm not going to name any names, professional footballers, but the ones that are out of control when it comes to gambling.
Is there a few of them, then?
Yeah.
You've seen them at the casinos, huh?
Seen a couple of... I've played against some players. I played against Gabby Agbonglahor down at Star City in Birmingham. Not a gambler. Not a good one, anyway. Yeah, there's well-documented pros that have lost tens of millions of pounds gambling on all sorts of stuff. But Joey Barton, I mean, I don't know where I stand.
Are you going to use the word like?
Well, there's a rule, obviously, that they can't bet on whatever, right? So apparently he's put on, like, something ridiculous, like 12,000 bets in the past, like, 10 years. 95% of them are on completely other sports, which is absolutely fine, and then 5% on football matches. And he actually sent out a Twitter feed where he posted a picture of, like, some of the bets that he put on.
But, I mean, who literally knows every single bet they've ever made? The fact that he's posted this, just, I don't know how credible that is.
No, because he's not going to go, think about it, he's not going to go into a bookmaker in England. Like, every fifth shop is a Ladbrokes or a William Hill. Yeah, so he's not doing that. He has an online betting account. So, yeah, they have every transaction that you've ever done.
Maybe.
So you go to the history, and that's what he's done, the history, and it shows the whole list of every bet he's made, right, in this period that he posted. The biggest bet he put on was, like, I think it was, like, £600, which, think about it, is like, chump. It's not like he's betting 100K on a match, and, like, do you know what I mean?
It just shows that you're a degenerate when you're betting on these games. It's like some of them were £5.
£5, like, accumulators, just for...
And those were games that he was playing. Well, his team was playing, and he bet against his team as well.
A lot of the ones he bet on Newcastle to lose, like, 4 in a row because the manager said he wasn't going to play in those 4 games. So just as, like, being petty, he was like, I'm going to bet on you to lose. And they actually ended up winning 3 of them and drew 1, I think. So,
all right.
But, yeah. Let's
move on to Spurs versus Arsenal today. I'm going to pass it over to one of you guys. Can start this.
Go ahead.
I got it. Mark's gone silent today. He's not a very happy boy. Obviously, it was a great game it was a good game if you're neutral, for sure. Spurs had 2 chances midway through the first half that they squandered. They ended up converting 2 of them in the second half in a very quick succession. Spurs won 2-0. Dele Alli had a nice little kind of scrappy kind of goal to score the first one. Off a quick taken throw in, and then kind of bounced around and to a few players. It was great to see him get on the score sheet after he, quite frankly, missed a sitter in the first half. So did Eriksen. Maybe not a sitter, but, you know, one that was a decent chance. And then right back after that, which, if you're watching the TV coverage, you almost missed it. because they were still showing highlights of the first goal. They came back, and there was a quick penalty on Gabriel for tripping Kane, which, you know, at the time, you know, I'm sure if you're an Arsenal fan, you would say it wasn't a true penalty, but on the numerous replays I'd seen, it looked convincing enough that it was a penalty. Kane went down fairly easily, but overall, it was a pretty comprehensive win in my eyes. Granted, the score didn't necessarily say that, but Spurs were the better team for the full 90, I would say. Arsenal had a few chances here and there, but they never really threatened them.
Mark, what do you... Nothing?
No, nothing, Mark.
All right, well, then let's move on to the next game. Chelsea versus Everton.
Yeah, this honestly, this is why I fancied Spurs to take this all the way to the last day. And they still might, but this was a fixture that I kind of saw it being...
Circled on the counter.
Everton at the time were right there, outside chance of top four, if they could put a monster run together and have some results go against them. But with West Brom losing, like I said, guaranteed Europa, which was Koeman's aim at the start of the year. And I just didn't see a lot from him. Lukaku just...
But they played him to a stalemate in the first half. It wasn't necessarily horrible. They weren't... But, I mean, hey, the Pedro goal totally unlocked them. That was one of the better goals of the weekend. That was just thrashing in the top left-hand
even when that Okay, but even when that went in, that's when I'm looking for, like, Everton to make those changes. Bring on your Morales then. Like, they brought Morales and... Kone on with like 10 minutes to go, and I think they're already
20 minutes
2-0 down,
72nd.
It's like, I don't know, I fancied Everton in that game at home. Didn't put in a good performance in their last game. I fancied them to come out and kind of try and prove a point.
Well, I mean, you were talking earlier about teams on the beach, you know, they've hit their goal.
That's what I mean.
So I think they bottled it. I think they just didn't really, they didn't show up. They had everything going in their favor, and you know what? They didn't convert, and you know what? Chelsea had plenty of other chances that they could have scored as
well.
Yeah,
Costa had a great chance in the first half. Hazard rounded the keeper, hit a side net in. That's what I mean. They were kind of, Everton, without playing well, were still in it, riding their luck a little bit, and I was just thinking, just start creating some chances. But the midfield, you know, the only guy that was running and showing any like penetration was the... Davis kid.
Tom Davis.
Other than that, really just poor. Just really poor. But great finish from Pedro.
What do you think is going to happen with Ross Barkley? They say if he doesn't sign a new contract that he's going to be gone.
Where's he going to go to?
I mean, I've heard that United may like him. I don't think he'd get...
I heard that too and thought about you, Greggy.
What? Get rid of Wayne Rooney and bring in exactly the same player who does exactly the same in a game.
I don't think it'd be a good buy. Honestly, I'm not very high on Barkley overall. No. I think that when he's on his day, he's as good as anybody. Maybe not as good as anybody, but he's, you know,
he can
definitely
be effective.
He's above average. He'll be one of the better players on the pitch. But for me, he's just totally inconsistent.
Yeah, you get one decent performance every 8-9 games if you're lucky. From what I've seen, if you're lucky, you get that one standout game every 8 or 9. Rubbish.
All right, so Man City versus Middlesbrough.
Brilliant this. I love this. Because I was watching the Chelsea game, and in the top corner it flashed up Middlesbrough 1-0, and I was like, what?
What's going on here?
Must be a typo. But old Negredo.
Right off the post, yeah.
Yeah, so 1-0. Aguero penalty, and then you're thinking, okay, they're going to go on and win this game. But Callum Chambers, eh?
Only bright shining spot for Arsenal.
Yeah.
He's on loan, yeah.
That's it. And then obviously Jesus got the equalizer with about, I think it was about 5 minutes to go. So even then I felt like, hey, up, here we go.
Yeah,
but fair play, Middlesbrough. What a great result that was. 2-2 against a very good team. Well deserved. Well done.
But not enough to save them. I mean, they're gone. They're done.
They're gone.
Mathematically, they still have a chance, but they're done.
So how many teams is it? Three teams or two teams?
Three.
So that's why I feel so sorry for like Swansea. They're actually getting points, and they're way out behind are in front of Middlesbrough and Sunderland.
Swansea are getting points. Let's move on to the next game, right?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Yeah, United versus Swansea at home. Did anybody else sense that when they watched the game, it was just, there was a silence? Like a rubbish, lot of mate. Silence in that game.
Rubbish.
Couldn't hear anything from the crowd.
You would have thought these were two mid-table, 8th versus 9th. Nothing. Swans did nothing, really, first half. United, garbage. Just, you look at the team sheet, and I'm thinking, where's the creative spark? Where's the Juan Mata? Where's the Mkhitaryan? Where's somebody who's going to...
They were there.
The
they were just... They blew a lot of their chances.
Through the lines. Like, just such garbage. I mean, this should have been a game that should have been wrapped up at halftime, 2-0, and you just coast to 3 points, finish third... Job done. But no. We're going to create some drama. We're going to see what we can do. Luckily for us, Middlesbrough, Man City ended 2-2.
Theater draws.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that, the 10th now? 10th draw?
Crazy.
Trafford? Rubbish.
But I mean, like, first of all, let's talk about the goal that you guys got, which was off a penalty.
Yeah,
that was not a legitimate penalty. Nah. Rashford dove.
Yeah, it's not a penalty.
You guys were lucky to even score, and then Sigurdsson with a fantastic free kick.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't have struck that any better. It was kind of hilarious that Herrera did that little move where he was in the wall and then he ran back to the post,
funny thing is, it's so far in the top corner and you have the smallest player on the
pitch. I don't think he would have been able to get it.
He wouldn't have got it anyway.
I don't think he could have got it.
He'd have had to have tipped it over and we'd have to have saved a penalty.
He would have had to pull a Suarez and just use his hands.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rubbish. Rubbish, Man United.
I just feel when I watch United, like, we get to about the 40-yard line and then we just... There's no cutting edge.
No.
We just start passing it back.
I mean, and we have so much like natural pace in like Martial, Rashford, Mkhitaryan. And like you said, you get to the final third. We got to the final third in that game and it was like, we just put the brakes on, go sideways. So poor. Just, done talking about it, mate. Rubbish. But great finish from Sigurdsson, fair play. But can we just say, what a stupid challenge from Wayne Rooney. Like, you just don't make challenges like that. At that time of the game, in and around the box, when they have a player like Gylfi Sigurdsson, who we know can do that at, like, the drop of a hat. Just ridiculous.
Do you think we can still finish top four?
We don't deserve... Like, performances like that, we just don't deserve to. We just don't deserve to.
Well, yeah, the answer clearly is yes. You've got to convert in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, we can...
You're 1 point back of City right now.
1 point back of City. I think, what are we, 2 points behind Liverpool?
2 points, exactly.
And we played the same amount of games as Liverpool?
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, 1 point back. So, Liverpool...
But they have a game in hand. No, we're even on games.
You're even now.
Yeah.
So the table goes Chelsea, 79, Tottenham, 74. So still... wait, no, that...
Chelsea are 81.
United are one behind City, one behind Liverpool, but Liverpool play tomorrow night. So if Liverpool lose, that we'll have a game in hand, and so will City on Liverpool. So potentially Liverpool will drop out of the top four, and City and United will be in there if we win the rest of our games.
And if Watford beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure they can, but...
Watford need to put in a performance because they were dire last week.
All right, so that's the end of the Premier League. We do have some games coming up, Champions League this week. Tuesday, we have Real Madrid versus Atletico. And
they're playing again, you know. They've had the final last year, which was a really good game.
Final 2 years before that.
And the final, exactly, 2 years before that. They always seem to play their best against each other, and there's definitely a huge rivalry, whether you know you're playing in the domestic league or in La Liga or in Champions League. This should be a good series. I still see Real Madrid ultimately tipping them at the end, but that's a tough matchup for Madrid.
What about Monaco versus Juve on Wednesday?
I see Juve.
I gotta go. Monaco are my outsiders.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, Juve haven't conceded a goal in what? Like, I think it's like 530 minutes in Champions League so far.
Yeah.
But
there's only two games that people have scored against them.
Right. Anyways, like, you know, they took care of Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a very potent attack. But, like, I would say the difference between the attack of Barcelona and an attack like Monaco is this Monaco attack, like, they're fearless.
Yeah.
Like, they go for broke. So, and they, you know, where Barcelona's more constructed and, about how they build up and, you know, Monaco's just going to kick the ball down the field and have Mbappe roll past you.
And let's face it, like, Monaco have nothing to lose. They're the underdog. No matter who, what the draw would have been, if it had been Monaco, Atletico, Monaco, Real Madrid, they were always going to be the underdogs. It's a great spot to be in as well as they're playing. So, you know, they must fancy their chances against
them. They're like the late kids to the party, but they're still there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I think it's going to be good.
All right, well, that's actually a lot of action this week with the Champions League. So we do have some midweek games. We do have some games this week for the Premier League. Watford versus Liverpool tomorrow. What are you thinking?
What's up, Watford? Honestly, I've got to do it. I'm going 2-1. The mighty Hornets. Come on, the boys.
But you're saying that more, not necessarily from a betting perspective and what you really think is going to happen, but more of a...
You need me to stick... I can do it right now. I'll stick $10 on Watford to beat Liverpool 2-1. Just like I said that Palace would beat Liverpool 2-1.
I see Liverpool winning that game.
All right, so then Friday we have Spurs versus West Ham.
Go West Ham.
Another North London, or not, sorry, another derby, I should say, not North London. Another derby for Tottenham, third in a row now. It's at the Olympic Stadium, so that's the West Ham Stadium. It's going to be a tough one. West Ham haven't had the best of seasons so far. I would hope that Tottenham could win and continue to keep the pressure on Chelsea.
What are you thinking score-wise?
2-0, maybe?
2-0. All right. So then we go into Saturday, Man City versus Crystal Palace.
You would think that City would just roll over them.
1-1.
Bournemouth versus Stoke?
No.
Yeah, if they're all on the beach, right? So,
yeah.
No.
No one's going to turn up.
Burnley versus West Brom.
No. I'll go Burnley. Burnley 1-0.
This is
going to
be a really exciting weekend.
Burnley, I'll go Burnley 1-0.
Hull versus Sunderland.
Oh, Hull. Come on, no. Hull. 2-0.
Leicester City versus Watford.
I'll go Leicester 2-1.
Swansea versus Everton.
Ooh, this is in Swansea. So
I'll go no.
I think the Swans, you know, based on their play in Everton, they seem to have kind of slowed down. I think Swansea will win 1-0.
All right, so Sunday, May 7th, Liverpool versus Southampton.
I got to go Liverpool because Southampton are so far on the plane, passports checked. I mean, any team's going to turn them over. I'll go Liverpool to win that.
Arsenal versus Man United.
1-1.
Art Facebook Live blokes.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
What do you think?
I think it'll probably be is it at Old Trafford?
No, it's
at
Arsenal.
Okay. Emirates.
Arsenal. If it was at Trafford, I would have said it would be a draw just to go with the running theme of your all season.
All right, so let's just show you how close everything is. I know you'd read some of them out, but Chelsea are in 81, Tottenham in 77, Liverpool in 66, Man City in 66, Man United 65, Arsenal in 60, who's Everton in 58?
Everton 58.
I couldn't even read my own handwriting there. West Bromwich in 44, Southampton 41, Bournemouth in 41, and then, of course, the bottom three is Swansea 32, Middlesbrough 28, and obviously Sunderland here now out in 21.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we should definitely do like a Facebook Live next weekend. So, all right, guys, the time is now 7 o'clock. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Have a good
Thanks
week.
A lot.
See you guys.
Later.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.